the music industry is in such flux now. I think there seems to be an ongoing search for a model that works these days. What challenges do you find in trying to get your new work discovered?
Well, I think it's kind of the same that it's always been. You know, once it comes to life, the song or the record or recording comes to life in your studio or your basement or your wherever you do your creative work, there's a real question about what do I do with this? I mean, in the most simple way, you go out and you play it for a group of friends. And back in the 60s, when folk music was kind of the reigning pop music, it was real easy for six or seven of us to sit and play, and we just watched the thing take its own kind of a viral path just with people who were singing folk songs, because we would sing songs to each other with a specific end of wanting to share it and show somebody else how to play it so they could go and play it for somebody else. Of course, most of that's gone now. That doesn't happen so much. You know, people don't sit around and share songs like that. But most of it that does happens on the internet, on YouTube and the various places that where you can post music and listen to music and somebody can point you to a song they've made. Plus, you've got technology that lets you make a record that's a lot more than just you sitting with a piano or you sitting with a guitar and playing. You can, you know, make pretty sophisticated recordings of songs that you write. And so the internet just seems to me to be the main focus of where a lot of music is being exchanged. That, and it has, in its own strange way, given rise to a very robust and active live culture now, live performance. Kind of the way, the same way the internet and email started text and literature and writing all over again, whereas for a time people were worried that, you know, writing was a lost art. Now it's the lingua franca of the net. You know, people text, and it's kind of odd, actually, the way it works, because people text each other now instead of calling somebody. You just, you know, send them a little stuff, or you write somebody something, an email, and you read stuff all the time. That's it. And so having the internet give a boost to live music is poetic. And it's an interesting juxtaposition, and sort of wonderful to me that it's happened in that context.
So many performing artists who blossomed in the '60s seem to be long past their creative peaks. Very few are making new music, it seems. Very few are still pushing, still searching. What at this point in your career, when you could be considered to be made, what motivates you?
Well, I I think I understand the question. You mean, why do I keep writing and performing and making records and movies and television and stuff like that?
Essentially, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Well, all of that is really at the very center of who of my thinking, my thought processes. It's the way I make sense of the world. And the arts are applied sciences, and I'm a, by nature, kind of a scientific thinker. I appreciate the structure and the organization of the thought that's in the sciences, but there's something in just the sciences that leaves the fun and the playtime and the happy times out that the arts express and bring to it. So it's not that I'm doing the artwork in order to make a living at it or to perpetuate some sort of ideas I have. It's because it normalizes my life in a way. It makes it fun, and I'm able to use these great tools around me to make these great things, and then I get to live with those things. And part of it, of course, is the live performance, which is a wonderful moment for anybody like me. And so there's no effort to keep going with it. I don't feel like, oh, I've got to keep this going or keep it alive. It's not an effort to make the music live somehow the music lives pretty much on its own, and I just get a free ride. So right now I just have no desire to get out of that car. I think it's a great place to be.
I talked with a young cabaret singer last week, Nellie Mackay. I asked her about a creative process, and she said, "Nothing really comes from me." I guess she felt she was channeling everything. Things come through her. Do you think that's true?
Well, I take her point. I mean, without talking to her directly, I wouldn't know exactly what she meant. But if by that she means that the ideas tend to be higher than ideas we can think up on our own, yeah, I think that's what she means. Because I feel that a lot myself. A thought or an idea will occur to me that's not part of my history, not part of any repertoire that I have. It doesn't necessarily flow from, you know, a body of knowledge. It's just pure inspiration. You look at something and you see something in a unusual or unique way, and it's a gift. You know, the universe just hands you something and says, "Here, look at this." And you pick it up and you go, "Oh gosh, I never saw that before. That's interesting." And so to make it part of your own life, you take it and you write it down and you make it live. And people mistake that taking it, writing it down, performing it and so forth for creating it. But in fact, it really isn't. It's discovering it. You've discovered it. The universe hands it to you in the normal course of events. And if you just stop and look at it, suddenly you have this new plant in your garden. And if that's what she means, then I agree with her. Yes.
Okay. I think that's what she meant. You have a remarkable history of discovery, then, if you will, beyond the things for which you're best known. Your career is miles wide and miles deep. What of everything you've accomplished would you say right now that you're proudest of?
Well, it's not. That's a normal question. I understand the spirit and intent of it. It's a very hard one to answer because the real precise and clear answer is pride never enters into it. It's not anything to be proud of. It's like me asking you, how do you feel about the fact that you have a rhythmic heartbeat? I'm very happy to have that because it's a considerable part of my life. But to feel proud of it or to feel proud of an achievement, these creative ideas and these creative processes and these discoveries that you come into, they really are like something handed to you in a as a gift that seems to be a very natural part of things. And so I never feel pride about any of it. I guess the overarching sensibility is gratitude. You feel very grateful and it's very happifying. It makes you happy. Enjoy it, and maybe that sense of having access to that part of the universe that provides for all of us is a secure feeling. It makes me feel very secure and cared for. So you can see, in none of those, there just isn't any. No opportunity for pride in any of it.